I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 164 for the weekend starting 20 January 2017.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, Netflix shooting the lights out and becoming the new king of content.
Also this week, is WeChat really a threat to iOS and Android? Also, Samsung is facing another crisis and Vodacom to zero-rate Facebook access.
We have liftoff.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. We usually record the show outside, but the Gauteng weather has unfortunately got in the way. Raging thunderstorms outside, so we've relocated into the Tech Central offices. And nice and cozy in here. Dark outside, rainy, been pouring down for the last half an hour.
Great Joburg summers,
but yeah, exactly. But nice weather to record a podcast. Yeah, definitely couldn't do this outside today. Anyway, let's jump straight into the show because there is tons to talk about this week.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get to the news, let's do our quiz. Richard, do you want to kick off with the first question?
Let's do it. The first question. MTN's interim executive chairman, Putuma Nhleko, has said that the group may put off its plan to list in Nigeria until 2018. Why? And there are two reasons for this.
Our second question, former US President Barack Obama, and he is now former US President, commuted the prison sentence of which well-known whistleblower this week? And clue, it wasn't Edward Snowden.
It wasn't, yeah. Third question, prosecutors this week sought an arrest warrant for which Samsung Group executive?
Fourth question, which Indian mobile phone operator has announced plans to sell some of its African assets?
And the last question, Netflix this week revealed its latest quarterly numbers. How many subscribers does it now have worldwide? And it's a big number. We'll accept the nearest 10 million.
Nearest 10 million tells you how big Netflix has gotten. In fact, Netflix is our first story that I want to talk about this week because they announced their fourth quarter results this week and their share price leapt higher. Astonishing numbers. In fact, let me give away the answer to question five. 93 million customers worldwide. Almost half of those now are outside of the US.
Yes, I mean, I can think you can almost directly correlate to when they opened up their services worldwide.
Yeah.
You know, I know so many people these days that have subscribed to Netflix and people that I never even thought would be an online subscriber. I mean, we're speaking about it just now. Showmax, obviously, in my opinion, coming second to that. Because a lot of people in South Africa that I know, you know, have Netflix and Showmax.
When Netflix launched, it was a year ago now in South Africa, yes. The content selection was quite weak. But it's changed dramatically in the last 12 months, and the amount of content, especially Netflix originals that are really good on that platform, I think you're right. I think they've pulled ahead of Showmax. There's no doubt that Showmax is in a head-to-head battle with Netflix. Netflix is its number one competitor in the South African market. And Netflix, I think, has taken the lead, so Showmax is going to have to... He's going to have to play some catch-up.
Yeah, look, Showmax does have the advantage of the kind of DSTV multi-choice. It's got that kind of in the company back in there.
And it has some local content.
Which is nice. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can look at these in isolation. I mean, Netflix, if you have to choose one, by far, that's the one to get.
Yeah.
But I have Showmax because there are a few things on there that's not on Netflix.
Yes.
You know, some stuff that MultiChoice would have local rights to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually been enjoying Frasier again and that's on Netflix. So, you know, remember that show with Frasier Crane?
Of course. A spin-off of Cheers.
Yeah, that's it. Really been enjoying that. And yeah, not available on Netflix. I'm still a little bit upset that I can't use my VPN services for the US version of Netflix because there is a lot of things in the US that's not on the South African store still, obviously.
Yes.
So I do miss that. I do miss having access to US content. Sadly, no more.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've tried that with a VPN service.
I have not recently though. So I've been watching The Crown, and that's really what got me onto the platform. And a fantastic show.
You're doing a bit of binge watching there.
I was. Movie production qualities in that show. They must have put one heck of a lot of money in it. But it really shows that, I mean, this is you know, cable quality, HBO quality television that is being produced by an online provider.
Oh yeah, Netflix, I mean, if you look at a company that pushes out its own content, essentially, or at least buys the right content, they've really made some great decisions.
Mm.
I mean, I'm just looking at my list of things that I've watched, and some of the recommendations. I mean, Designated Survivor.
Oh, we're busy watching Designated
Survivor. It's a great, especially now in the light of the US president being sworn in. But I mean, it's a great story from Jack Bauer. You know, 24 is Jack Bauer.
Yes.
Black Mirror's the new season was great.
I haven't watched that yet. I really enjoyed the originals on Channel 4.
Oh, really? Mm. Yeah, they are good. Travelers was another one. Time traveling, based on a time traveling kind of plot. I really enjoyed that. Also, Binge Watch Weekend Done. That's why you can never forget the names of these things come.
They've actually got a heck of a lot of content that's now available to South African viewers. Original content.
Oh, they do. Yeah. They do.
It's definitely ramped up during 2016. And I see they're going to invest even more in original content this year. It makes you wonder whether Showmax needs to start to invest heavily in local content. Local original content.
I guess it's a difficult question. What makes good local original content? You know, with the SABC not really fully functioning, it's difficult. I think if I look at least the video market, you know, there are a lot of good guys doing a lot of great things, but they generally just take it overseas. There hasn't been enough of a South African market to stimulate, in my opinion, really good Netflix quality originals. There has been a lot of, interestingly enough, a lot of Australian, New Zealand based programs that I've seen as a Netflix original that is Hollywood quality production. Arc is one of them, also a great one to watch.
Yeah.
Bloodline, I think, was made also, if I'm not mistaken, some island outside of the US. Expanse is also an international one that's not an American.
Oh, I've seen The Expanse. That's great sci-fi. Yeah.
3% is another one. I think that's a Spanish.
That's Brazilian. It's Brazilian.
You're right.
Mm. I haven't seen it yet, but I was reading about it in the results yesterday. So yeah, no, they've got quite a large amount of original content now, which and a lot of it's compelling. Mm. I suppose with Showmax, the difficulty is they're not just targeting South Africa; they're targeting emerging markets. I think they've launched across the whole of Africa and parts of the Middle East, if I'm not mistaken. So you know, those are very divergent markets. How do you create content that appeals to all of those markets? I think content that's very specific to South Africa probably won't appeal to someone in Egypt, for example.
Yes, and they do have a lot of old South African stuff. I mean, I watched somebody on Schuster's a while ago and it was entertaining, but nothing that I would actually build a strategy around, because
it's old stuff though. It's stuff that's been broadcast already elsewhere. Yeah,
Showmax has got some interesting movies, some newer movies, but nothing that's really DVD box office style, or at least the latest.
Mm. I think the one thing in Showmax's favour, though, of course, is that it's cheaper. It's 99 rand a month, whereas I think Netflix works out to, I mean, if you take the mid-tier option, works out to about 140 rand a month.
Yeah. But again, I think DSTV should, or I mean, I know there's they're not the same brands, so to speak, but they really need to pull in on those resources. And I guess licensing for broadcast and licensing for online will always be two different things. So
I suppose the difficulty for them is they don't want to make it too compelling next to DSTV.
That's also true. No, you're right. That's why.
But you're right, Netflix is it's the South African version is worth subscribing to now. A year ago I would have told people, get a VPN if you want this and watch the US version, but the South African version now is actually worth watching.
But that sadly doesn't work. I don't know when last you tried it, but I actually stopped my VPN
it doesn't
services
work anymore.
They've managed to somehow block all these services, and I've tried a few, and none of them get through. And the Netflix US library still has, in my opinion, a much better selection, especially the older Hollywood style content. Because they obviously have been managing these licenses for much longer.
Mm. I suppose they weren't expecting to go global 3 years ago, so they weren't buying content with that in mind, and they were licensing content.
Yeah.
And of course, content gets licensed in markets by broadcasters and that sort of thing, which sometimes prevents it from being available on other channels and other platforms.
Exactly.
So I suppose that will wash out of the system over the coming years, the offerings from Netflix and others will, and Showmax for that matter, will improve.
But with a subscriber number of 93 million, I mean, how many broadcasters can claim that, really?
It's incredible. It's, 93 million. I mean, how many subscribers does DSTV have? If you include the African footprint, it's probably no more than 10 million. Could be less, I'm not sure. So,
but I guess they make a lot more money off ads than Netflix would ever do. Still baffles me how Netflix would make money off of this. I mean, do the subscription fees really cover all these licenses?
I don't know. If you say average of $10 a month, you multiply that by 93 million, you've got $930 million a month So if you annualize that, it's $10 billion a year, more or less.
Okay.
$10-11 billion
Some clever investments and
dollars
you've
a year.
Got some money there.
They're investing $6 billion in original content this year. That's a proper business. They have a market capitalization of $60 billion US.
Wow.
So if we just work that out, let me just go into Google. Let me just say convert $60 billion to Rand. Their market cap in Rand terms is 820 billion
sure.
Rand. Naspers's market cap, which includes MultiChoice and Tencent, and obviously the bulk of that valuation is from Tencent, is sitting at, where is it, 950 billion. So Netflix is just shy of Naspers's market cap.
And they do have, they only have one
line
of brand.
And the Naspers is obviously Tencent. MultiChoice is a tiny fraction of that valuation. And Showmax, for that matter.
Oh, that is interesting. Okay, now I'm looking at Netflix in a whole different light. I mean, clearly the subscriber numbers is where it's at then.
Yeah, it's massive. It's massive. And those numbers were really, really impressive. It looks like they're going to shoot into strong profitability in the coming years.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how Netflix has reinvented itself over the years. I mean, if you remember back, they started as a DVD mail order company.
And you can still, I think they still do DVD. I mean, I still have DVD. I think that's for the US.
US only,
I've got a US account, but I'm watching South African content.
Yeah.
But
DVD.netflix.com. Yeah, there you go.
Premier account, $11.99, and I can get two discs at any time.
I can't believe they're still doing that.
I was, I mean, talking about DVDs, I was walking past two or three DVD shops. I just noticed them in a few suburbs I've been to the last few days. And it's amazing how many people still were browsing in the DVD shops. I mean,
oh, is it?
I'm not talking about the big franchise DVD shops you can have. These are all little ones, like with little random names, and they've got their little catalogs. And yeah, and there were five, six people in each of the stores.
That's
so clearly people
a lot of them have closed down there.
Yeah, yeah.
The local one here in where I live in Randburg is a really sad place to go.
Yeah, they do look a little bit sad. Before the internet was. Before the internet was there, they were still at their prime.
Yeah. I see that, by the way, that speaking of stores closing down, that Look and Listen Megastore in Four Ways, which was once a real flagship store.
That was a flagship.
Closed down.
Has it closed down?
No.
Oh, wow.
They were shrinking in size. It's at Four Ways Crossing in Four Ways in Johannesburg. And,
I used to go there all the time.
It was fantastic. They had that upstairs level, and they had the most amazing selection of Blu-ray discs and concert videos and just music.
And they had music gurus in there. Actually knew
they
what they were talking
about.
I remember having lots of conversations with those guys.
I spent a lot of money in that shop. I think probably three or four years ago I stopped going there. I noticed, I was there this last weekend, and I noticed that they had the boarding up and it was closed.
Yeah, I did visit them over the last 2 years once in a while, and they changed from largely music to selling a lot of other things.
Video
of
games,
Lego,
a lot of PlayStation
games,
yeah.
Like board games.
Trying their best to stay afloat, but... when your whole business is ripped out from under you.
And I think that's the same with a lot of musicas too. The few musicas around, they've also been shrinking a lot.
Yeah,
I don't see that anymore.
The moment I subscribed to a streaming music service was the moment I stopped buying CDs. And that was 2 years ago now. I don't remember the last time I bought a CD.
It's kind of sad. I mean, I miss having to explore music like that. I mean, with a streaming service, it's much easier, yes. But you kind of, you know, the liner notes in the CD cover, you don't have that experience anymore. You know, taking out the CD, putting it in the old LP.
LPs
syndrome.
Have kind of made a little bit of a comeback, haven't they? It's probably temporary. There's, in fact, right around the corner from that Look and Listen outlet is a place specializing in vinyl. So the music shop died, but the vinyl is still open. And it's damn expensive, actually, for some of that vinyl. I mean, 300 rand for a record, 400 rand some of them, yeah.
Well, I guess it's for the audiophiles and the guys that want that experience still.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do like my streaming service. I'm definitely not complaining. I mean, I've been playing with Apple Music for a little bit, and I'm quite impressed.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Symphy, progressing yet, but it's got some nice music that's not on Symphy.
A lot of people subscribe to Symphy or Symphy, I'm never sure how to pronounce it, but and a lot of people absolutely love it. I was also on Symphy originally, but I moved to Google Play Music, and I love that platform.
Yeah, I actually haven't really played with that much, but streaming.
For some reason, people don't seem to try Google Play Music. I don't know what it is. You say streaming music to someone, and they just don't register Google as a service for music. Yeah. I guess I'm just very invested in the Android and Google ecosystem, so it's a logical choice for me. And I love it. I think the app is fantastic, and the website works brilliantly.
It's supported in South Africa. It's a local.
Yeah, it's $60 a month. $60 a month. Yeah, it's the same price as Apple, and all the others actually. I love the fact that they have emerging market pricing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, States, I'm subscribed to the US store, so I'm paying $10. Yeah, I'm paying them $10 price. Yeah.
Ouch! Why you do that? Why don't you subscribe?
Because I should change, but I've got so many apps on the US store. I'm still trying to figure out if I'm going to lose access to all of those things not.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should try Google Play Music then. If you have a South African Google account.
Yeah. No, I don't. I think all of my accounts are international.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm screwed.
Right, now you're going to pay through the
nose. Yeah. should teach me.
So, WeChat, do you use WeChat?
I used WeChat for a very short period of time.
Why did you
think it was around when Cliff Central went live that I started using it?
Right, because it was the only way of getting Cliff Central for a while. Yeah.
Not that I listen to much Cliff Central these days, but I played with it, the wallet stuff, but it never really compelled me.
Yeah.
I mean, why? I've got, it's just another messaging platform that, my friend circle don't really use a platform. So it's always been WhatsApp and Hangouts.
Yeah, I've also uninstalled it, to be honest. But apparently there was this very interesting piece that we ran this week from a wire service, Bloomberg, looking at WeChat's growth in China, where it's obviously absolutely unbelievably massive, where they've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of users.
That's cool.
And they're talking, WeChat has really become a platform for more than just chat. It's become an ecosystem or a platform in its own right in which people go in and spend their entire time on their smartphone in WeChat. They don't use anything else. So they boot up typically Android. They fire up WeChat, and that's all they use for everything.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
They do their online shopping in WeChat. They play games in WeChat. They talk to their friends in WeChat. They do dating in WeChat. They do you name it, that's in WeChat. Now, WeChat has launched this new platform, which allows you to developers to develop applets, I think is the best way of describing them. So actually, the app becomes a platform on which you launch other apps. And now they've opened it up to developers, and they're hoping that developers build apps within that ecosystem, because that ecosystem has become so huge, used by so many people, especially in China, but growing internationally.
Is this on Android? Because I wouldn't imagine that Apple would allow that. Apps within apps.
I don't know the answer to that question, but it's certainly on Android. I'm sure that Apple would have a problem with this, yeah. But I think it does work on Apple as well, because the Bloomberg piece is specifically saying that this is a competitor potentially to the iPhone.
Well, I have it added running. I'm just curious about the app within app, because it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. But the suggestion in this column that we ran is that WeChat is now a threat to Android and iOS. That WeChat could become the OS.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if they have
become that big and that powerful, does Tencent build its own OS based on WeChat? I suppose that's what the piece is hinting at. And given that it's got so many users in China, and really is, it's something like crazy, like 300 or 400 million users. Is the next step saying to Chinese smartphone makers, for example, hey, we've got a platform for you. You don't have to deal with Google anymore.
Yeah, it's just an alternative platform. But if it is that big in China, I mean, I don't see it really making more of an international hit unless you have some bigger international pickup.
I mean, unless they start to license an OS for hardware manufacturers.
Sure,
I mean,
sure,
it's not clear
that
that's what their intention is at all. But if that's the ultimate intention, then maybe your phones from Oppo and Xiaomi and maybe even Huawei and all of these Chinese smartphone manufacturers, which have a big share of the Chinese market and a growing share of the international market, maybe WeChat becomes a platform on which these phones run in future and then get shipped into markets in Africa and elsewhere.
Isn't that kind of what we dreamed of when we dreamt of a world where you buy your hardware and then you choose your software? So you buy any phone you want and then put the software you want on there, whether it's Android or something else.
Well, that's certainly the promise of eSIM technology. You buy your handset, switch it on, and it says, which network would you like to use?
Yeah.
Operators obviously hate that. But it's an interesting one. I mean, I think we underestimate here in South Africa just how big this Tencent company, in which Naspers holds a 1/3 stake, has become and is getting, and the power that it's starting to wield. And, you know, if it becomes a platform for third-party apps, is that a threat to the Play Store and the App Store at the most basic level? It's an interesting discussion to have, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if what Tencent's ambition is with this, and whether they intend to turn WeChat into an operating system at some point, or whether it even makes sense to turn it into an operating system.
I guess it's the only way you're going to grow it. I mean, once you're an app on every phone, how do you kind of get more of that user's eyeballs?
Yeah,
you know, it's become the platform.
Yeah. Yeah, in South Africa, I mean, I know Toby Shapshak always says that we shouldn't, he's the editor of Stuff Magazine, for anyone who doesn't know, says that we shouldn't directly compare WhatsApp with WeChat, because WhatsApp is simply an IM platform, whereas WeChat is so much more. But I think people do compare the two, and here in South Africa, certainly, WhatsApp is a much more popular platform than WeChat.
The names are certainly confusing. I remember initially WhatsApp didn't make sense to me. Why would you have a messaging app called WhatsApp?
WhatsApp.
Where WeChat, which is not a chat platform, has got...
Well, it is a chat name. Platform.
Well, but it's more than that. It's more than that.
In fact, whenever I have used WeChat and fire up WeChat, it's not to chat. It's to do something else with it.
Yes.
I don't want to use it as a chat platform, because I've actually got more than enough chat platforms. It's the reason I don't run Google Hello, for example.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're running Google Hello.
No. Well, I had it running, but I don't really use it.
I installed it and uninstalled it again. You know, WhatsApp, everyone uses WhatsApp. It has become the default standard for communication.
And now that they've got the web-based platform, I mean, it's such a great communication platform. I use it all the time.
Me too. Absolutely. I've actually got it. I keep it on a window on my desktop, on a screen on my desktop.
Yeah.
But WeChat, it's worth watching. And they're certainly pushing aggressively in the South African market, because, of course, Naspers owns a 1/3 stake. And they're doing all sorts of interesting things locally as well.
Yeah, they are. That's what I've known them for. That, you know, doing little really cool little initiatives with various companies. Nice.
Anyway, lots more to talk about, but we need to take a quick ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Hello world. Hello information. Hello uploads and downloads. Hello streaming videos and low latency. Hello blogs and vlogs. Hello crystal clear video calls. Hello increased productivity. Hello online learning. Hello cloud. Hello long lost friends and missed connections. Hello limitless possibilities and instant gratification. Say hello to premium high speed fiber from Vox Telecom. Pleasure guaranteed. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Chicken or beef?
Beef, please.
Chicken or beef?
Chicken.
There's so many companies offering fiber at the moment, but with Vox Telecom's premium high-speed fiber, you'll be joining the Smile High Club.
Duck or salmon, sir?
We call it business class fiber. We guarantee our uptime and can tailor our services to suit your needs and budget. Say hello to business class fiber from Vox Telecom. Visit voxtelecom.co.za for more information.
Well, welcome back to the show. So, Rehat, Samsung, after having a terrible 2016 with the Note 7 exploding, is having a very bad year now again, because not because of any product that's exploding in consumers' hands, but because of serious problems in the leadership of the company. A bribery scandal that has already brought down the president of South Korea.
Wow.
Who was impeached, I think, in December. And now investigators and prosecutors going after J.Y. Lee, who's the heir apparent, if you like, effective de facto leader of Samsung Group and Samsung Electronics. Samsung Electronics, obviously, as a subsidiary of Samsung Group. Now, he's been accused by prosecutors of being involved in influence peddling and bribery, all related to succession planning inside Samsung, which is obviously South Korea's biggest company. And prosecutors this week seeking a court order or warrant for his arrest.
Wow.
And the court turning it down, so they have won a reprieve there. But Samsung certainly not off to the best 2017 after a very rough 2016. And all this coming, of course, just weeks before the company announces the Galaxy S8, which I still think is going to be the smartphone to beat this year.
Yeah, they're certainly going to set the benchmark very high. They've you know, they have to a lot to make up for. They had a lot to make up for with the Note 7.
Mm.
I think from the rumor mill, I think they'll be able to do it.
Yes.
But it's interesting with, you know, talking about this bribery and corruption. Is there any part of that that leaked down into that battery fiasco? Maybe somebody was paid to put batteries from the right supplier,
There's no evidence or suggestion that that happened.
Nothing like that.
No. I think that was really about rushing a product to market without testing it properly, and trying to beat the competition by putting a battery in a device that was too big for the for the size of the device. I don't think there's a
leak. Doesn't go that deep. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, one always worries that when this sort of thing happens, that that it's going to filter down and start to impact on the level below and management of the level below, and what does that actually ultimately mean for innovation and product development? There's no sign that it's had an impact yet, but it's certainly troubling for the group. What is undoubtedly South Korea's biggest success story. So you're on MTN, aren't you?
I'm on MTN. Yes.
MTN. So Vodacom announcing free Facebook this week for Vodacom users.
For Vodacom users.
And I've had a couple of people on Vodacom already complaining to me that they're getting strange messages on their phone saying you're about to leave this free service, blah blah blah, which seems a bit odd since it seems to be only aimed at people who are wanting to access the basic Facebook. I'm not sure if it actually means that you have to use that Facebook Lite app that's available in the App Store, or whether it only gives you free access to certain parts of the full app. But they're saying that they'll provide zero-rated access to Facebook as long as you're not looking at pictures and video.
Yeah, from what I understood, it was just for the text-based stuff. So if you update status, be free. Didn't really make much sense to me because
Facebook is about pictures and video, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, if you want to make the platform free, do it properly.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. I can imagine that this may be appealing to people on 2G handsets or feature phones or something, but it's certainly not the top end of the market. You know, I'd rather use data and just get the full experience.
Well, exactly. Sometimes there's a lot of media, but I guess. You know, data isn't what it used to be. I mean, I'm not paying too much for my data, and I've got so much of it on my website, on my mobile device.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess I'm not the market for this. I'm not the market for the free Facebook access.
Yes. It's an interesting one. I presume it's on a similar basis to what what Cell C did with the free basics, Facebook free basics. This one's called Facebook Flex. I'm not sure what the difference is between that and Facebook free basics. I suspect it's something very similar. It does, of course, raise all sorts of interesting questions around network neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
There are network neutrality rules in the white paper, the ICT, National Integrated ICT Policy white paper that the South African government has produced, and it's not clear whether these sort of schemes like Free Facebook Free Basics launched on Cell C or this Facebook Flex launched on Vodacom would be impacted by those net neutrality rules if and when they're introduced as legislation. But we are going to have net neutrality laws in South Africa in the coming years. Does it make sense to outlaw something like this? I know in India there was a very strong pushback against Facebook launching this with the operators there, Free Basics. I forget what the outcome of that was, but I have a feeling it Facebook was forced to stop doing it. What's your view? I mean, should companies like Facebook and the operators be allowed to offer free access to certain services, or do you think that net neutrality rules should apply?
Look, I think I would rather break this down more simplistically and say, if they want to give out anything free, give every user X amount of data for free so that they can use it for what they want, as opposed to bringing it down onto one platform.
Yeah.
Look, I see a lot of value in a platform like Facebook and having it free to users, but then the net neutrality argument is obviously very strong there.
Mm.
My concern with something like this is what access in the terms and conditions does Vodacom actually have access to? What do they have access to?
Apparently there are terms and conditions and they get access to certain data of yours, which worries me enormously.
Mm.
I guess it needs further investigation.
Yeah, look, I mean, I would say rather give users free data that they can use it on whichever platform, which on their phone, on their smart device,
mm.
you know, as opposed to closing it down to one app.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
Steve Song put forward a good proposal, and I hope I'm not mangling what he said. If you go and look at his columns on Tech Central, you'll find the piece there. But he made a very interesting proposal. If I'm quoting him correctly, he said that why not just make 2G data free?
That's a very good point.
Obviously, the networks have a cost there, but it's almost like the software model. Try it before you buy it. Give them free 2G access, and sure, that'll allow people to send free WhatsApp test messages. But it's going to be hugely frustrating for them if they want to send video or music or listen to music. They can't.
Yeah.
Then have to go to a 3G or 4G carrier. So in a way, it would actually encourage people to get on to try data. Where at the moment they just switch off the data on their phones because they don't want to use it at all because they're worried it's going to cost them money. So maybe open up the 2G carrier to everyone for free, and then actively sell people 3G and 4G at a cost.
I agree, that would be a great solution, and it'll keep the essence of communication free without clogging up the network with giving everybody free data.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. It's certainly not. The net neutrality thing is something I think it's going to become more and more discussed in this country as we go forward, especially with the launch now of these video on demand services as well. What happens at some point if Vodacom, for example, I'm not picking on Vodacom, but let's say Vodacom launches its own. And we know they've actually launched a VOD platform for other VOD providers that want to offer services on this network. Mm. Does it now prioritize those providers over those that don't sign a deal with it pay it money to give those providers access to a much faster network?
And that, kid, is why we have to talk about net neutrality, because it could spiral out of control very quickly if it's not kept in line.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. If you speak to pure free market advocates, they'll say, no, this is just unnecessary regulation. Let the market sort it out. It's sort itself out. If you don't like the speed you're getting from your operator, or Netflix doesn't work properly because they're putting restrictions on it, then that's fine. Go to another operator and the market will sort itself out. And that argument, I don't know. I don't know if it makes sense. And the market hasn't really, we haven't really tested the market, so we don't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But maybe the answer is to put the rules in place beforehand. To just avoid it. It's an interesting debate, and it's one we're going to have repeatedly, I suspect.
Or drop the fees. the fees so it's a little bit more affordable.
Anyway, let's move on to our regular features. Let's not spend too much time on our winner and loser this week, because certainly the winner we've discussed in detail this week, and it's an obvious pick, Netflix.
Yeah, definitely.
They're doing really well, and the Q4 numbers really shot the lights out. Share price soared.
93 million.
93 million.
I'm still blown away by that number.
So probably by the next quarter, they will have exceeded 100 million customers worldwide.
Wow.
And I would imagine by later this year, they will have more customers outside the US than in the US.
Yeah, definitely.
Which makes you wonder, are they now going to have to start making original content that isn't American?
Well, I think we've kind of seen it with some of the shows. There's a lot of subtitle kind of foreign series and films on there. Yeah. That
is it made by them though?
No. A lot of these Netflix originals, the way that the industry works is Netflix wouldn't commission it.
Yeah.
Netflix would buy it. So, you'd obviously sell it to Netflix. You produced it, or you've kind of produced it, or you've done a pilot.
Right.
But they obviously have there's a clear quality within everything that they, they obviously, Netflix original is a quality production.
Yes.
It's not something that was slapped together.
Yeah. And our loser this week, and I know maybe it's just a repeating previous winners in this category, winners in inverted commas, since they're losers. I'm going to pick the former board of the SABC, and particularly the performance of the former chairman and chairwoman, Ellen Chabalala, and his name is Lipaman now, the former, most recent chairman of the board. His performances in Parliament were really atrocious over this black failure of corporate governance at the public broadcaster. So they are our losers of the week. Maguve, his name is Maguve. Yeah.
Should we do those quiz answers?
No, we still need to do our pick of the week.
Oh, the picks. Oh, yes.
What have you got this week, Rafat?
So I use my phone camera for a lot of things, not just for taking photographs. I would take photographs of various things, either as a reminder or as the wine bottle label or the beer bottle label or whatever. Just kind of visual notes, if that makes any sense. And I've recently discovered this cool little app called Codex. CODEX. As far as I know, it's only available on the iTunes store. But it's a way to it's a handy little app that allows you to categorize and tag notes, visual notes, essentially. So I'm gonna, I can use it to take photographs of anything. Within the app, I would put my hashtags on it. So let's say, for example, it's notes off a notebook, or if I've just been to a conference, you know, that you normally write in those notepads they give you. Instead of taking it with you, take a photograph of the data. Do your hashtags, put it in the right categories. And it really allowed me, as opposed to using the photo, the camera roll on my phone to try and search for search for these notes that I've made, or these visual notes, allows me to categorize them properly and actually find these notes that's not intended to be a photograph that I necessarily want popped up when I'm looking at photographs for Facebook, for argument's
sake.
I really find it handy, especially because I'm using my phone as a note-taking or visual note-taking. It's a nice... There's a lot of other features. There's a few features you can pay for, but the basic app I just find useful just for categorizing my stuff, so to speak.
That's pretty cool. I was saying before the show, I use OneDrive to do that now because the app allows you to do that, but it's, it certainly seems there's a lot more ability to categorize in this app.
Let me just log back in here.
Check it out. Is it Apple only?
It's from what I understand, it's Apple only, and it is a paid-for app for most of the great features. I'm starting at 99 cents.
Okay, well, that's not much.
It's
a monthly subscription.
Monthly subscription. Sorry, I should have said that. I've only been using it for a month, so I'm still on the free trial.
Okay. But $10 a year, I see. Cool, check it out. It's Kodak in the App Store. My pick this week is actually an online retailer. They're called Print Canvas, printcanvas.co.za, and I've ordered a few prints from them. I know there are a couple of these online stores, but someone recommended these guys to me, and they're very good. I ordered a huge A0 print, which, Rachat, you've seen.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Beautiful, just an image I found on the internet, actually.
Nice canvas. That's on canvas.
And they do stretched canvas. They do framing, dark frames, light white frames.
Wallpaper.
They do wallpapers, photo blocks, acrylic prints. I'm just looking at their website here. Photo gloss prints, loose canvas prints, wedding canvas, a whole range of things. And literally, you go through a step where you provide all the you upload the picture to them. You provide a lot of detail for what you want. You can also provide specific instructions about how you want to print it or cropped if it needs cropping and that sort of thing. And they take a week and they deliver it to your door for free. Literally 5 working days. And you'll have your orders, and they deliver anywhere in South Africa. And
great.
I've been very impressed with the quality that they've sent through. The A0 canvas, for example, was stunning quality. I think they definitely deserve a punt. They're called Print Canvas, and their website's printcanvas.co.za, and their prices are pretty good as well. So for a full they currently have a special on. I see a full A0 canvas is currently R1,100, which is not bad at all. Yeah. Cool. We have to get back to our quiz. Let me dive in with the first question. It was about MTN. Their executive interim executive chairman, Batuma Nhleko, who is stepping down in a few weeks to make way for Rob Shooter as new CEO, has said that the group may put off its plan to list in Nigeria until 2018. He made those remarks this week in Davos at the World Economic Forum Summit. And he gave two reasons for that, and those reasons are the weak Nigerian economy is not conducive to a listing at the moment, and MTN also first wants to deal with regulatory and political challenges it's facing in that country before it commits to a listing date.
The second question, now former US President Barack Obama commuted the prison sentence of which well-known whistleblower this week? And the answer, Chelsea Manning,
formerly Bradley Manning. Unfortunately, Obama did not see fit to use his last days in office to pardon Edward Snowden, which I think he should have done. I think he was a bit annoyed with Snowden and the way he handled his leaks, I don't think that was ever going to happen. But I think Snowden is in a very interesting position now with Donald Trump coming in and his relations with Vladimir Putin, which seem to be quite good, at least for the moment, and one wonders where that leaves Snowden. I see that the Russian foreign ministry said earlier this week that Snowden is welcome to stay in Russia for another few years, but that sort of situation is quite fluid, especially if Trump and Putin start to cozy up to each other. And we don't really know what we do know what Trump thinks of of Snowden. I seem to recall a few years ago he tweeted that he should be executed.
Interesting times ahead.
Our third question this week. Prosecutors this week sought an arrest warrant for which Samsung Group executive? And of course, we answered this during the podcast, and that's J.Y. Lee, and it was not granted.
The fourth question. Which Indian mobile phone operator has announced plans to sell some of its African assets? The answer, Bharti Airtel.
And our last question this week, we have answered it repeatedly during the show, so forgive me for reading it again, but Netflix this week revealed its latest quarterly numbers. How many subscribers does it now have worldwide? And we said we'd accept to the nearest 10 million, and the exact number is 93 million.
A cool 93
million. A cool 93 million, and soon to be 100 million. Incredible. That's our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, please mail us info@techcentral.co.za. We're going to be investing some new audio gear in the next week, so our next show may sound quite different. Hopefully,
It'll sound much better.
It'll sound much better. And we're going to be doing a lot more with audio this year, so we look out for that. And I don't want to give away too much just at the moment, since some of our competitors are some of our keenest listeners as well. But we've got some exciting stuff planned this year, so look out for it. And we'd love to hear from you. So if you've got any inputs on what you'd like to hear more of on the show, and what you like and what you dislike, we'd love to hear from you. info@techcentral.co.za. Don't be shy. So until next week, from Richard and myself, take care. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.